Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krumrie. Thank you for tuning in. Last week, Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola joined D.C. lawmakers from 16 states in a legal brief backing a lawsuit to stop a massive national grocery store merger. Most Alaskans live in a community where a Fred Meyer store competes directly with a Kars or Safeway. So the proposal for one parent company, Kroger, to buy another, Albertsons, for $24.6 billion has a lot of Alaska consumers worried. Federal regulators are also wary because they say it's anti-competitive, concentrating too much market power and will hurt regular shoppers. To try and win their approval, Kroger and Albertsons are prepared to sell off all 15 of the Kars and Safeway stores in Alaska communities that have a Fred Meyer, plus three more in nearby towns, to a company called CNS Wholesale Grocers, based in New Hampshire. In Alaska, the opponents include Peltola, 24 state lawmakers, an Alaska Grocery Store Workers Union, and lots of regular Alaskans. Verida Severo leads the nonprofit Alaska Public Interest Research Group, or AKPIRG, which also opposes the merger.
It's a huge issue for Alaskans that resonates. You know, it's not a political issue, it's a pocketbook issue. Whether or not it's in good faith about these spinoffs, we've seen over and over that they don't work.
When Safeway bought out Kars in 1999, and again when Albertsons bought out Safeway in 2015, the main divestment buyer in both mergers failed soon after. For now, the Kroger-Albertsons merger is on hold after a Colorado state judge's order last month pending a legal challenge there. Three more legal actions are pending in a Washington state court, an Oregon federal court, and before an administrative law judge in Washington, D.C. And Alaska used to have some of the strictest campaign spending laws in the country. But since 2021, the state is one of only about a dozen states with no limits on individual donations. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, a group is trying to restore some limits with a ballot initiative.
Back in 2006, Alaska voters passed a ballot initiative in a landslide. In most cases, it allowed campaign donations of no more than $500 per candidate per year. But those days are long gone, says former Attorney General Bruce Patello.
Well, I think one could briefly summarize that there are no limits at the moment.
That's thanks to a court decision a few years ago. A group of Republican donors and a local party group challenged the limits in 2015. They said $500 was far too low. Attorneys said the $500 cap gave an unfair advantage both to incumbents and candidates who were themselves independently wealthy. And they said the laws violated the First Amendment. A district judge and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal initially upheld the $500 cap, but then the case reached the U.S. Supreme Court in 2019. The justices told the Ninth Circuit to essentially try again, but this time consider that the High Court had thrown out similarly low limits in Vermont in 2006, and that the lowest limits the court had allowed were about 60% higher than Alaska's after accounting for inflation. So Patello says the Ninth Circuit took it back up.
And the Ninth Circuit struck it down finally in 2021, which meant that in 2022, that election cycle, and again this year, there are no limits on how much an individual can contribute to any race.
These days, Patello is co-sponsoring an effort to reimpose campaign contribution limits with a ballot initiative called Citizens Against Money in Politics. The limits would be higher and periodically adjusted for inflation, and Patello says that would make them more likely to survive court scrutiny.
Our effort here is basically to even the playing field, to make clear that people of modest means should have the same voice as someone who can write a check for $250,000.
In the meantime, though, some donors and candidates are making use of Alaska's no-limits system. By the end of July, at least five state legislative candidates had reported contributions of $10,000 or more from a single donor, according to data aggregator Open Secrets. That's two independents, two Republicans, and one Democrat. Anchorage attorney Robin Brenna donated a total of more than $30,000 to two candidates, hoping to represent neighboring districts in Anchorage, including independent Nick Moe. For his part, Moe says he supports restoring campaign limits, and he signed the ballot initiative petition. But for now, he's using all the tools at his disposal.
It's incredibly challenging to have our voice heard as Alaskans when we deal with a political system that literally has hundreds of millions of dollars spent by outside of Alaska corporations to influence our political process.
But some are skeptical that setting limits on campaign contributions would, in fact, level the playing field. After all, no state ballot initiative can invalidate the 2010 U.S. Supreme Court decision Citizens United. That, along with some lower court decisions, allows independent groups like super PACs to raise and spend unlimited amounts of cash on campaigns as a matter of free speech. That's the view of Republican Jared Gerker, who's challenging incumbent Kelly Merrick for a chance to represent Eagle River in the Alaska Senate. His campaign banked a $28,000 contribution from his brother, a real estate agent. And Gerker says the fact that Citizens United remains the law of the land means that no state limit on campaign spending would truly get money out of politics.
You're going to have local candidates, you know, trying to make a run because they see an issue in their local community. They're trying to make a difference. And then they get completely steamrolled by, you know, the dark money pouring in through the PACs.
Botello, the former AG who wants to reimpose limits, acknowledges the ballot initiative wouldn't be able to limit spending by independent expenditure groups. But he says they're only a factor in a small number of races.
To the extent they play in state and local politics, it's usually at the gubernatorial level or, in the case of Anchorage in particular, the mayoral races.
For now, organizers with the ballot initiative campaign say they're racing to meet a mid-September deadline to submit enough signatures to get the initiative on the primary ballot in 2026. A coordinator with the initiative campaign says that as of early August, they are about 60% of the way there. And if it does get on the ballot, Tello says he's optimistic that just like in 2006, Alaskans will vote to support it. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
All of Alaska's 40 state House seats are on the ballot this year. And in House District 40, covering the North Slope and the Northwest Arctic, the big issue is the incumbent's vote this spring to sustain the governor's veto of education funding. And as Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, sometimes the campaign takes on a distinctly Arctic flavor.
Robin Nayuk-Burke plops frozen chunks of bowhead whale in a pot of boiling water in the kitchen of the Airbnb where she's staying in Kotzebue. Burke is the only one of the three candidates who's from Utqiagvik. And when she flew to Kotzebue last month, she brought muktuk, that is, strips of creamy white whale blubber attached to black skin.
I know that here they don't always have the opportunity to eat unalik or muktuk, so I was coming this way and I figured I would just bring a whole bunch.
Burke is president of the North Slope School Board. She and Kotzebue Mayor Sima Chase are both Democrats, running against Representative Thomas Baker. Baker was a Republican when Governor Mike Dunleavy appointed him to a vacant seat in November. Now he's running as an independent. The contest is one of the Democrats' best hopes to flip a seat that could determine which party controls the House. Burke says her decision to run was born in this moment.
And so by a vote of 39-20, the legislature has not overridden the governor's veto.
Representative Baker had voted for Senate Bill 140, which increased per-student education funding. But then the governor vetoed SB 140, and Baker voted to let the veto stand. The override failed by one vote. Burke says Alaska schools have been losing financial ground for far too long.
And it was heartbreaking for our students. I remember texting our student representative after the vote came through just to let her know. And she was so disappointed, and we're letting our kids down.
In an op-ed published in the Anchorage Daily News, Burke claimed Baker did what the governor wanted him to, not what was right for his constituents. Burke's raised $25,000 for her campaign. As of mid-July, Thomas Baker had raised $1,000. He says he got a lot of feedback from the district after he voted to sustain the veto. But he says he wasn't driven by loyalty to the governor who appointed him. Baker says that if Dunleavy's veto of SB 140 didn't stand, he might have vetoed other education money in the budget.
Essentially, once I'm able to get that across to folks, they're pretty agreeable. They may have some feelings about, you know, I would have done it this way. If I were you, I would have done it that way. But at the end of the day, that's how it goes when you're making the hard votes for the people.
Baker is a construction manager for the local Native corporation. He often broke from other lawmakers in the Bush caucus. Baker's vote to let the education funding veto stand also inspired Sima Chase to challenge him. Chase works for the tribe in addition to serving as Kotzebue mayor. She says the Bush caucus needs to remain unified to hold sway.
when Thomas first took office and he kind of broke that Bush caucus, it was a little bit jarring for us because we need those participants to push funding and legislation to benefit our people here in rural Alaska.
Chase recently got her first yard signs in Kotzebue, which cost more than the $400 she'd raised by mid-July. Reporting from Kotzebue, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And as for the weather, it's 65 degrees and cloudy. You're listening to KTOO.